This is Katie and Kay, and you are listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program. My name is Diana, and I'm here with local interns from the Garfield County PrEP program. This summer, teens have been engaging in their communities and developing educational messages aimed at adults about anything related to sexuality and health. Today, they will be discussing what teens wish they could talk to their parents about regarding mental health issues. Please welcome Natalie, Leah, and Maria. So let's start with the first question, the title of the program. What do you as teens wish that you could talk to your parents about regarding mental health issues?
This is Natalie speaking, and one thing I wish I could tell my parents about mental health issues is that it's not a joke. We're not doing this to just get attention, and it's something really serious.
Do you feel that a lot of parents feel that it is just for show and just for getting attention?
Well, maybe not all of them, but I think the vast majority just think that it's not really much of an issue.
I'm Leah. I wish I could tell my parents that not everything is about God, and God isn't always the answer.
Do you feel that people's religious beliefs maybe put up barriers to having these conversations?
Yes. Like Natalie said, they take it as a joke sometimes, and it's not really often that they usually hear about it from their teens actually talking to them.
Can you speak to how somebody's religious beliefs might keep them from thinking that teens could have a mental health issue? Or are you saying that they just think the answer to those issues is having more faith and belief in God?
I think that the second one you said.
I mean, regarding like the religious aspect, like from what I've experienced with my own parents, like, yeah, my mom like tells me like she'd rather not have me go to therapy because she thinks that like Jesus is the ultimate therapist. And I'm like, no.
So what I hear you saying, Maria, is while there's a difference between how you think about treating this problem and your parents, you've at least agreed to find a way that works best for you.
Yeah, I mean, like, like I said, they'd rather not if they had it their way, but, like, they know I would go anyway because I can and I'm old enough.
So that is important. Do you think very many teens know that they can seek out these sorts of services without parental consent?
No. I mean, I've never really heard the schools say it out loud or let it be known, or, like, parents much talk about, like, ages and ages of consent and stuff like that. I guess more people could do with that knowledge.
So do you know what the laws are here in Colorado for youth acquiring mental health services? I think you can be as young as 15 and you can go and get mental health services without your parents' permission. So parents don't have to know. However, how you will pay for it is likely to get parental knowledge because it will come through on their insurance. But yes, I agree. I don't think many people know that young people can seek out these services without their parents' consent and exercise some self-care, but there is the problem of then how does a youth pay for those services? Let's define what are we talking about in regards to mental health issues. I know I have an idea of what that means, and the adults listeners might have an idea of what that means. But as teenagers, when you're talking about the broad term mental health issues, what kind of mental health issues are you thinking about or talking about?
I'm Leah again. And I think what comes to mind when teens think of mental health, it's probably anxiety and depression. And that's probably because they've had peer pressure with like other classmates in school or homework.
So for today's conversation, we're mainly considering mental health issues as being depression and anxiety. Do you know teens who are struggling, and how have you seen this struggle play out in their lives?
This is Natalie, and I have certainly seen teens go through depression to the point where they just want to drop out of school, and just some become like suicidal. They like don't actually commit suicide, but suicide is like one of their answers, and they seem it's like logical to them. And to just to see that happen to them is like really scary, because you're just like on the side and you don't know what to do, and you try to get adults involved in the school, but they don't, it's not that they don't want to help, I think it's just that they don't know how to help.
This is Maria, and from what I've seen, considering that question is a lot of like thinking you're not worth it, I guess, like you're not worthy of like having friends because like all of these thoughts are in your head, and like you just, you start distancing yourself, but like what I've seen is distancing themselves, they've gotten worse. And to know that they're doing it on purpose and that, like, they actually do want help, even though they're also, like, rejecting it at the same time, is kind of hard.
If a teen feels like they are struggling with a mental health issue, who do they talk to?
This is Natalie, and teens talk to other teens. I think they do this because they just feel more secure. They, like, feel that they're going through the same thing together, and they can just be more relatable and understand each other's struggles.
This is Leah, and I think it's not always easy to talk to parents about the mental illness, but they do talk about it with other teens because they know what it feels like and they're in the same age.
So I think that's true. I think oftentimes teens talk to their peers first. I would guess the same is true for adults. We probably talk to our peers first, so that probably doesn't change as you grow into adulthood. But and teens aren't therapists, and they shouldn't be expected to be therapists. But if that's going to be the first line of defense for somebody who is struggling, is there any advice you could give to teenagers on how they could help or what they could do for this peer outside of expecting to be a counselor?
This is Maria, and I think just in overall, just be there for them. If they came to you first and to tell you about their problems, then like they trust you with that, and it's important to keep that and just take no and just be there, I guess. And if they decide to go to like therapy or get help, be there for them too, to like help them like organize their thoughts, I guess, and remember things they probably don't.
This is Natalie, and I think one thing us as teens can do is just make sure that we're involved in their lives. I know personally I would go to my friend's house and just like take them out, make sure that they're still socializing with other friends and just showing them what it's like to be a teen and how fun it is or can be.
So I would guess that this is a struggle that you have. As Maria suggested, if it peer is coming to you and talking to you about their problems, it's because there's a level of trust and they feel safe. And we know just from the PrEP program that creating a safe environment does foster deeper conversation. People will share some of their deeper, darker secrets more when they feel safe. But as a mandatory reporter, I've been trained to know when I have to report something legally, to keep somebody safe, to keep them from harming themselves, or to keep them from harming others. As a teen, is it a struggle to know when do you sort of violate that trust to go outside of your peer circle to get adult professional help? Is that a struggle that you deal with when you're trying to help a friend?
This is Natalie, and I definitely think that it's a struggle for teens to know when it's okay to go and get professional help. Personally, I had a friend who was struggling and going through depression, and I didn't know whether or not to get professional help because he started to talk about suicide and how he just didn't want to be here anymore, and that really scared me. And so I did talk to one of the counselors, and they did get him to go to a therapist and get him, like, depression pills. And so now he's better, I think. He doesn't talk about it anymore. But, yeah, it was definitely really scary for me because I thought I was going to lose, like, a really close friend.
Are you still friends with this person? Or did they get angry that you told somebody, even though you did it with the best intentions and to get them help? Were you able to preserve that friendship?
Yeah, definitely. If anything, it made us closer because I was there through one of the therapies, and I couldn't do it because I just started crying, but it was very empowering for sure.
When he first found out that you shared this information with an adult, was he angry at all?
I mean, I don't think it was anger. I think it was more like he was scared because he knew he needed help, but he just didn't want to go get it. And for me to do that, I guess it was more thankful with some anger and mixed emotions.
I think it's kind of hard to know when a teenager needs, oh, this is Leah, when a teenager needs actual help because most of the time they joke about it with other peers and they don't take it very seriously.
So do I understand you to say that when they're joking about it, you as an onlooker don't know whether or not to take it seriously? You don't know if it's serious because there's so much joking.
I think that it just happens a lot. 'Cause they don't know another way to show it. They're just like, I'm done. And they joke around about it a lot.
Can you see how it might can be confusing to adults if kids are joking about it and seeming not to take it seriously? Then how do we expect adults to take it seriously?
This is Natalie, and I think that's like a really big deal because since we're joking about it, they just think that it's just like super fun, and we're just trying to get attention. And there's also a saying in Spanish, I'm gonna phrase it in English, but it's entre broma broma, la verdad se asoma. So, in between lies, there's some truth, and I think that that saying is like very real. So, while we're joking about it, like, oh, I want to die, I don't know, it's not that we really want to die, it's just like some part of us is like super stressed with like school or family or whatever, so we like. I don't know. I guess it's just our form of trying to seek help, but at the same time, we're like rejecting it by saying it's a joke.
So how then does it make you feel when adults or parents tell you that it's not depression, but just the adolescent stage of life?
This is Maria, and I mean, the whole teen stage of life is like, okay, it's a given. We're gonna be stressed. School is gonna be like annoying and bad and stressful and everything, but when someone either confides in you or tells an adult that they are actually having an actual problem, then that should be taken seriously. Like, the brain is an organ in your body. Organs get illnesses. Mental illnesses happen in that organ. So, like, if you think you're sick in any way, you should probably take it seriously. It's not just like a phase of stress.
So when you put it that way, it makes it seem very medical. Seems like it could happen to anybody. And I like that you connected it to the organ of the body. Since it is an organ, just like our liver, our kidneys, our heart, that can get illness, why do you think mental illness is met with so much more fear or shame than any other illness?
Yes, it is met with a lot more disbelief, I guess, like the mental illness and everything. And I guess it's because, I mean, it's us, like the human brain is an organ, but it's also huge and we don't really understand it all. And to it's complicated, I guess. And to understand something like mental illness and to have so many definitions and diagnoses of it is kind of hard to comprehend for a lot of people, and because it's prevalent, it's no one really wants to believe that it's there because it's us.
So, what would be your hope for teens in the community regarding services for teens with mental illness? What would be the best type of service that would help teens here in the Valley?
This is Maria, and I think there should be more going on at the schools other than one yearly suicide talk. I mean, the school counselors can only do so much, and they're always from what I've experienced, they're always busy with other academic stuff. So to have I don't know, I guess just to have more information out by someone at the schools.
This is Leah, and I think they shouldn't have direct classes, I guess. Sometimes you can have after school homework help to maybe help with anxiety from so much homework you have.
So if teens are feeling like they can't talk to a parent, and so they talk to teens, what other adults are teens talking to other than parents?
This is Natalie, and some other adults that teens are talking to are academic teachers. I know for sure that I have this teacher that I'm always talking to, and like, I guess it's because they spend like the majority of their time with teens. They just know how to like react and how to help. That, like, I don't know, I guess we just consider them one of our peers, we can say, because we spend so much time with them. And even though they're a different age group, it's just so much easier to talk to them because they just know how to handle teens and how to be around teens, even when they're, like, going through hardships.
You brought up the religious and faith aspect earlier in the conversation. Do teens use religious leaders as a place to go to confide and talk about their problems?
This is Maria, and I could see that. I mean, everyone's different. Everyone has different, like, ways of coping, and if you think religion is a part of that, then yes, I do see a lot of kids, like, my age going to, like, religious leaders and stuff to, like, get them help, and it does help if that's, like, what you think, like, is going to help you, I guess. And it's not, I mean, it's not like it's something bad if you go to a religious leader. If it's someone you trust and someone who you think is going to help, then go for it.
What qualities in these adults or teachers make a youth feel like they're safe going to them? Like Natalie, you mentioned one teacher. What is it about that one teacher compared to all the other teachers in your school that make you know that you can talk to them? Do they have qualities different from a different adult?
This is Leah, and maybe the teachers or can probably not always say that everything's going to be all right. Like, I know I have a teacher, but she doesn't always think of it as in everything's fine, you just need to calm down. She tells me that there are some bad things in life that she can probably help me go through because she's been through them too.
This is Natalie. And going back to what Leah said, the teacher that I can trust and talk to, he doesn't really, it's not that he doesn't sugarcoat things. It's just that he's more realistic with things. He's like, he talks to you about how he went through the same things and how you can get through it too, and how it's going to be hard and there's going to be more hardships that come with, like, you know, being better, but you can do it. And it's just very, like, motivating.
Is it important for you to see in an adult that you would view as trusted as somebody who has had some similar experiences? Or can an adult who hasn't had those struggles also be helpful?
This is Natalie, and I think an adult who has not gone through these things can also be helpful, because just by being there and listening to your problems and not judging you, also taking it serious, which is another important thing, that's really relieving as, like, a student to just be able to talk about these problems. It's, like, stress relieving and just, I don't know, it calms you down.
So it sounds like if we were going to give suggestions to parents and adults who think that they're a trusted adult, who think that they can be approached by teens but maybe aren't, what I hear you saying is some suggestions for them would be take it seriously, give the teen the time and focus on what they're trying to tell you, be a good listener. Are there any other suggestions that you could give to adults or parents with so that they could help teens dealing with mental health issues?
This is Maria, and in terms of helping us out, from what I've experienced, it's good to ask questions, I guess. Like, don't be afraid to ask us questions. Like, if we've come to you, we've come to you for a reason, and we want you to know everything, even if we forget it. So if you do have a question, it's okay. The more you know, the better you can help us.
It must be pretty scary and unknowing to take that first step and talk to an adult. So what advice would you give to teenagers who are struggling and want help to start that conversation with a trusted adult?
This is Maria, and your doctor is pretty good, I guess. Like, your next physical or something, you could mention it, I guess. Like, I've been thinking and I want help and your doctor's going to be there, like they're your doctor. Of course, they're going to help you. And I guess that's a well-trusted adult you could go to. That's what I did.
This is Leah, and teens are very complicated. When they think to talking about their parents about something serious, they think that they don't know about it. They think that only happened to them, but it has probably happened to their parents.
So we've talked about what teens can do regarding talking to a trusted adult when they're struggling with mental health issues. When a teen chooses not to talk with a trusted adult, what are some other avenues that teens maybe take to try and cope with the problems that they're dealing with?
This is Natalie, and another avenue that teens take when dealing with mental health issues or just any issue at all is to drugs and alcohol. That's for sure something that they do as a getaway, just to be in their own mind, be in their own thoughts, and just get away from everything else that's stressing them out or that's like making them more anxious or like more depressed. But at the same time, that's a really bad way to go, because we look at it as antidepressants, but they're just causing us more depression and more issues in the long run.
Would you suggest to parents that if they see one of their own children or maybe a friend of their children starting to experiment with drugs and alcohol, would you consider that perhaps the first warning sign that now maybe a conversation should start?
This is Leah, and I think they should. That's probably the first thing a teen would do. Seeking for attention, not saying it directly, though. So parents should look out for that.
A few of you have mentioned on a couple different occasions during the conversation about teens wanting help. They're asking for help, but maybe they're not asking for help in a direct fashion, like, could you please get me help? Are there other signs that you've seen in young people that are signs of them asking for help that might be misinterpreted?
This is Leah again. So probably, I know teens, some of them are very antisocial, so they stay in their rooms a lot. Not that that's a bad thing, but if they're in their rooms too much, then that probably means they need a friend to talk to about school and problems and stuff like that.
This is Natalie, and I think one red flag would be like drastic changes. So like if they're antisocial and all of a sudden start going to parties and start doing like everything else with like these big groups and like crowds, then that should be a red flag. Or if they're like, they used to be super socializing and like social and all of a sudden isolate themselves, that also could be a red flag, just to know that there's something going on and something's not right.
This is Maria, and I've seen a lot of signs at school in terms of workloads. I've seen like a lot of kids who like in earlier years haven't really taken school like, I don't know, as seriously as they do later, because later they would, I don't know, worry too much about their schedules before school starts. They would try to pile on as much academics as they can, and they just worry about the future, I guess, a lot. That's what I've seen. And what Natalie said, that was a drastic change in terms of like what I've experienced, I guess, like just overload.
So that's interesting in that most of the time we're talking about major changes from somebody who's maybe positive and social becoming negative and antisocial as a warning sign. But what I hear you saying is the opposite can also be true, which would add to the confusion. From a parent standpoint, if you have a child who's not social or who's not taking their school seriously, and then all of a sudden, wow, my child is suddenly a social butterfly and going all to these parties, yay, finally getting some friends. This may look like a positive to a parent, or a child who wasn't taking their school seriously, who is now, wow, they're thinking about school before school even gets started. Could this be a possible mistake that parents make in thinking that these big changes to the positive are all 100% good? Or can those also be, what I hear you saying is those could also be a warning flag?
Well, this is Maria, and yes, the positive can, like, there's, I mean, like Leah said, like, teens are complicated. We're complicated people. We're still trying to figure ourselves out. And I guess all these changes could be seen as positive, but when it's an overload, like all of a sudden, then that could be something. Maybe it might not be. I don't know. It can be complicated. Just talk to us, I guess. Just ask us questions.
And that is what we're trying to do with these discussions, is to get teens and parents talking about all matters related to sexuality, health, that includes mental health and relationships. So what I hear you suggesting to parents is don't stop talking, don't stop asking questions, and sort of to relate to your medical examples, sort of always be taking the pulse of the youth around you. My name is Diana, and I've been here with Natalie, Leah, and Maria from Garfield County Prep. We have been discussing challenges teens face when wanting to talk about mental health issues with their parents. Thanks for listening to the Andy Zanka Youth Empowerment Program on KDNK. More information is at garfieldcountyprep.org and azyep.org. Thanks for listening.